Dear Ricky, I got your letter of the 22nd. Forgive me for not writing sooner. I've been on the road a lot lately, and I'm behind on everything. In fact, I'm writing this letter at 35,000 feet somewhere over the Gulf, en route to Tampa. And I'm using a new laptop, one so small it almost fits in my pocket. Amazing technology. The printer leaves something to be desired. I hope you can read it okay. Wonderful news about your release and the halfway house in Baltimore. I have some business interests there, and I'm sure I can help find you a job. Keep your head up. Only 2 months to go. You're a much stronger person now, and you're ready to live life to its fullest. Don't be discouraged. I'll help in any way possible. When you get to Baltimore, I'll be happy to spend some time with you, show you around, you know. I promise I'll write sooner. I can't wait to hear from you. Love, Al. They decided Al was in a hurry and forgot to sign his name. The letter was marked up, revised, redrafted, pored over with more care than a treaty. The final version was printed on a piece of stationery from the Royal Sonesta Hotel in New Orleans and placed in a thick, plain brown envelope with optic wiring hidden along the bottom edge. In the lower right-hand corner, in a spot that looked as if it might have been slightly damaged and knotted in transit, a tiny transmitter the size of a pinhead was installed. When activated, it would send a signal 100 yards for up to 3 days. Since Al was traveling to Tampa, the envelope was stamped with a Tampa postmark dated that day. This was done in less than half an hour by a team of very strange people down in documents on the second floor. At 4 p.m., a green van with many miles on it stopped at the curb in front of Aaron Lake's townhouse, near one of the many shade trees on 34th in a lovely section of Georgetown. Its door advertised a plumbing company in the district. 4 plumbers got out and began removing tools and equipment. After a few minutes, the only neighbor who'd noticed grew bored and returned to her television. With Lake in California, the Secret Service was with him, and his home had yet to qualify for round-the-clock surveillance, at least by the Secret Service. That scrutiny would come quickly, though. The ploy was a clogged sewer line in the small front lawn, something that could be done without entering the home. An outside job, one that would pacify the Secret Service in case they happened to drop by. But two of the plumbers did indeed enter the home, with their own keys. Another van stopped by to check on progress and to drop off a tool. 2 plumbers from the second van mixed with those already there, and a regular unit began to form. Inside the house, 4 of the agents began their tedious search for hidden files. They moved from room to room, inspecting the obvious, prying for the secrets. The second van left, and a third one came from the other direction and parked with its tires on the sidewalk, as service vans often do. 4 more plumbers joined the sewer cleaning, and 2 eventually drifted inside. After dark, a spotlight was rigged in the front yard over the sewer cover and directed into the home so the lights inside would not be noticed. The 4 men left outside, sipped coffee, and told jokes and tried to stay warm. Neighbors hurried by on foot. After 6 hours, the sewer was clean, as was the home. Nothing unusual was found, certainly no hidden file with correspondence from one Ricky in rehab. No sign of a photo. The plumbers turned off their lights, packed their tools, and disappeared without a trace.